This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us now is Nikki Jabala from the Washington Post. What's up, Nick? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I did
Nikki, you were waiting for bars and everything, and you weren't there.
Yeah, man. It was disappointing, Nikki. Got to be honest.
I mean, I'm still working on it, you know.
I thought you were blowing us off for Nate Herbig, so, but just telling you the truth. Tell me what you know and what you think about the Debo reworked deal from yesterday.
Yeah, I think it was a bit overblown. I don't think it was totally reworked. He had a $15.4 million option bonus that was going to, I mean, it's not like a typical bonus where you think they decline it. And, I mean, he's going to be on a team. You don't trade for a guy and don't play him. And, you know, you don't cut him 2 days later. So that $15.4 million bonus was already getting picked up. And the option for the team was how they wanted to schedule it. Did they want the full cap charge this year, or did they want to spread it out over a maximum of 5 years? So they decided, ultimately, to put it all on this year. So the way I view this is, I mean, the only sweetener was adding $3 million in incentives. What they didn't do was extend them, and what they didn't do was totally rework the deal to give them, you know, a ton more money. So I don't know that it's a true sweetener. I think the way it was worded was insinuated to be more than it was. But all it was, you know, we knew they were picking up that option. So we knew he was coming with a $17.5 million contract. They just tacked on $3 million in incentives. So
well, when Schefter specifically names the agent in the tweet, I mean, that stuff has become so transparent that the
We all know agents, the game now. It's just kind
the
of
agent
silly.
Wanted to push it because, you know what? He wants other clients.
Yeah.
So
right.
he can say, see
right.
what I did for Debo?
Right.
I got him all the guaranteed money. Dude, he had an option bonus.
Like he was getting
– he was about to get that anyway.
He was getting 15 and a half,
like,
and then
there's
guaranteed
nothing new in there. Oh, there's
right.
this good – like, they really love him. They guarantee us.
Right.
I mean
– right.
No, come on.
And I think
I mean,
it
that's part of the game. We all know
cap.
It, but.
Right.
Yeah, it's like that.
But yeah.
So, Nikki, JP asked me this question just a while ago, and I wonder for you. All the players they brought in, re-signed guys, trades and all, what was your favorite move?
Tunsil. I think it's the first time they really put significant investment in the offensive line. And I've never understood why teams don't put more money into the offensive line. It's so paramount. It's not a sexy position, but if you got a bad O-line, your quarterback gets creamed and you have no run game. And we've seen it year over year, team after team. So I've never understood why teams don't put more into that. The good ones have great offensive lines. I mean, look at Philly. I mean, they have a great offensive line and have for years. You can't replicate that, but you try to build one over the years and keep them together. So I like that they made a significant investment there. That was probably my favorite move. It was the most costly, which is fitting for me. I'm the type that never likes anything on the clearance rack. It has to be the most expensive, and somehow I just inevitably like it more. But I also like Jonathan Jones, and I know he's a smaller corner, but he's versatile. I like his story. I like how he really had to earn his way into the active roster. He's played inside. He's played outside. He's played safety. I really like the way he plays. He's a physical player. Doesn't play like he's, you know, 5'11", 185. So he's probably my second favorite. And I mean, Debo's phenomenal if he can play like he did in 21. but he hasn't been at that in a few years. So, I mean, clearly what they're trying to do on with this team is part of their plan, really, is they get a bunch of guys who are, you know, have some incentive to really want to play for more and play hard and play well. And they've gotten that. They got it out of guys last year. Can they get it out of Debo and the ones they signed this year? We'll see.
You know, they say they want to play violent. They brought some guys in that are violent.
Oh, yeah.
Because that little dude, Jonathan Jones, is a violent dude, though. He ain't that big.
He's a physical
player,
man.
But he will lay you out.
Harris, too.
Harris is, he does it. So I like they, what they talk, they do. They don't just talk about it and never get it done, but what they talk about, they try to get done.
Right. And I like that. It's refreshing. I mean, you don't see that in many other places. You know, they talk about building through the draft and they don't always do it. I mean, look at this team. All these guys are on, almost all of them are on 1 year deals. They're really trying to build through the draft. You know, and they have these veteran guys in for the first couple years to really set the foundation, set a tone. And then you hand it over to the younger guys, and they've stuck to the plan. They don't change the plan every year, which is something I felt like, no disrespect to the last regime, but that's something I felt like they did every year.
You're not disrespecting, you're speaking the straight change, truth. You know? They didn't know what they was going to be the next year.
Right. That is true. Right. And dude, that wasn't just Ron. That goes back Bruce, all of them. I mean, even Mike Shanahan, depending how far back you want to go.
Yeah.
Having the quarterback position figured out, though, allows you – to have a clearer vision of where you're going. You know
100%.
What I mean?
100%.
Aid, it's like, all right, we know we've got this now. Let's build everything else.
Yeah.
And I think that is still such a massive part of this. And I'm glad you said the build through the draft thing, Nikki. Like, they're still trying to do that and plan on doing that. But that's a much longer process. And part of the one-year deals is they have to supplement what – I mean, if you look at 4 years of Ron's drafts, or even go back, like a reasonable amount of drafts to look at would probably be 5 years. So you can go back to 19, which wasn't Ron. That was Bruce's last year. The base that was built for this team was incredibly hollow.
Yeah.
It was the office of the D lineman.
Yeah.
but like I've always felt if they were consistent with the way that they built it, then you can plug a quarterback into that. But every year it changed, so no matter what quarterback you would have brought in, he would have had problems.
Right.
You know, in 1 year, they came in, got Jaden, but they had enough pieces around him with his exceptional ability, too, to make this thing just jump. You know, I don't think they got anywhere close to that in the 4 years prior.
I also don't know that the plug and play really works when they say, let's build up every position and then try to plug in a quarterback and make it work. I don't think that. I think the only thing that really works is you got to get an elite quarterback. I mean, that's how valuable that position is to this point. I fully believe it. I know everybody in the NFL probably believes it, that it's the hardest and most valuable position in any sport because so much relies on that one player.
Well, and what's really fascinating to that point, Nikki, is we're talking with our friend Nikki Jobvalla here on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can give Nikki a follow at Nikki Jobvalla. A buddy of mine, a buddy of Bemidji's, Ryan Keel, played D-line for 10-plus seasons in the NFL. And he has this theory, which I think you could really validate, that Denver Broncos team that you may have covered, that Broncos team that beat Cam Newton, and that – I mean, as much as, you know, Peyton was on that team and he got to walk off into the sunset, that was Von Miller's team.
Totally.
That was defense through and through.
Yeah. That was a defensively won Super Bowl completely.
Yeah.
My boy Keel's contention is that path to winning a title has closed because the rules are so focused on offensive advantages that the old, I mean, there was a theory, run the ball well, play killer defense. The Ravens did it. That Broncos team did it. The Seahawks, when they beat Denver, they were defensively driven. They had a young quarterback that wasn't doing a whole lot then. But because of all these rule changes and the significance of them, that pathway really doesn't exist anymore.
Right. The one thing I will say about that team, though, is even Peyton – at his worst, and he was at his worst. I mean,
he got benched for Brock Osweiler.
Yes.
He got benched for Brock Osweiler, and he had a 0.0 rating in the same game that he broke Marino's record. So, like, it was terrible. But he was still smart enough that he could mask a lot of the deficiencies on offense, which you see Jaden doing in Washington. Like, that, the line wasn't exceptional last year. They didn't play the way they looked on paper, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
He masked a lot of the deficiencies up front. And I mean, that's what good quarterbacks do. I mean, we see it with Patrick Mahomes. You see it with Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. They can hide a lot of the deficiencies with what they're able to do elsewhere. And I think that's the difference. And, like, you know, we saw it with Sam Howell. I mean, could you go from one extreme to the other overnight like Washington did? I mean, he got clobbered, and a lot of those were on him.
Yeah, it's just totally.
Specifically, John going to Minnesota, Kinlaw coming to town. How different does that D-line look, you think, Nick?
It looks a lot different, but it looked a lot different last year, too. Cause, I mean, John was out, what, 8 games, right? So, I mean, the defense is still a work in progress to me. I don't know if it's better than last year. I don't. I don't know how those guys are going to fit up front. I know they wanted to get bigger to try to stop the run.
They got bigger.
I mean, the Eddie Goldman signing, they haven't had a dude bigger. Like that
He's,
in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, 320. I think they left him at 320. I've seen 325.
I think the last dude that size is like pot roast.
See, this is what I look at where – all right, John's best year, he had double-digit sacks, right?
Yeah.
And Deron's best year, he had double-digit sacks. Both of those guys were guys that you feel can beat the guy in front of them. They're more athletic than those guys, but they took sides. These dudes they're hiring now are not necessarily that type. They're guys that take
they're
you
different,
on,
totally different.
Square you up, and allow the linebackers to fill the gaps.
Yeah.
I think that they may not be overall better individually, but I think the sum of the whole – will end up being better because they're going to play like they want this thing played.
I had to pull it up. John actually never had double-digit sacks.
So he was 9.5?
9, yeah.
Okay, so but it was like high sack time.
Right.
So, but when your guys are inside, if you're not Chris Jones and Aaron Donald like Jeff want to be, then you don't get a lot of sacks. You have to take on people to allow the other people to do their job. And I think some of these guys they signed, that's the expectation.
Yeah. And I mean, that was a lot of what was missing on the D-line when they had 4 first-round picks. They had a lot of individual talents, but the collective wasn't there. It wasn't working.
Yeah.
I do think, though, that they need to add more to their pass rush. I also don't know if Javon Kinlaw, he indicated he was not going to stay at the size he was last year. He was what, like 320 with the Jets?
He said he was going to slim down, right?
Slow, yeah. And yeah. So he might slim down to closer to what he was in San Fran. But so where does he ultimately line up? I mean, there's and same for like Jake Martin. He's more of a depth guy, but is he more outside linebacker or the end? I mean, it's. Some of it's semantics, but it's also how do they use these guys? How do they see them fitting?
Nikki, we've been kicking this around.
I watched him.
I think there's very clearly edge pass rush deficiency, right? I think we can say that. And they can try to manufacture that, and we'll see if that works. But Brian and I have debated this for some time now. Do you think a big move remains coming?
I could see it. Totally. Totally. I mean, I've in only, what, a year, a little over a year with Adam Peters, I think he's done enough to surprise us. I mean, I didn't expect, you know, 3 significant trades in the span of, what, 6 months. And he played it fairly, I want to say fairly conservatively in free agency. I mean, Tunzel was a trade. He wasn't a free agent, so... I could totally see it. I mean, they have the money. They don't necessarily have the picks, you know, but future years, you know, maybe they try to make another splash trade. Hello, Trey Hendrickson. Or,
I mean,
you know,
the Hendrickson thing just remains out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And until that's no longer out there, until he gets a deal with Cincy or whatever happens, then I just – you know,
you have to wonder. Yeah.
until and Washington's not the only one that's going to be hunting around on that. But until right. there is a finality, a closure to what's going to happen to Trey Hendrickson, I'm just not counting it out.
Right. No, I'm with you on that.
Like these dudes,
how can you, you know,
stay in on everything.
They on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I also believe with Hendrickson and the Bengals, if they don't pay him, the longer this lingers, like obviously this is a draft day, this is a draft weekend kind of trade, but like the Bengals' leverage decreases if Hendrickson
tremendously.
You know what I mean? The only I just wonder if Hendrickson's the kind of guy to really apply the leverage because he played last year without guarantees on that deal.
Right.
Now there were bonuses,
but that's
and stuff,
last year. That's that one more year. But when you go into the final year of that thing, that normally don't happen. That's when that player begins to say, "Oh hell no, I gotta now force the issue."
Yeah. How old is he? He's like, is he what?
31.
Trey Hendrickson?
Yeah.
30. Yeah.
I think he's 31 by week one.
That's the only thing working against him is that, and I feel like more teams have like gotten over
December.
The 30. What's that?
He turns 31 in December. So, he's 30.
Yeah.
But, dude.
I just don't know if the age will hurt his price point.
Yeah, it might hurt his market. But Garrett just got bananas money. I mean, Danielle Hunter just got bananas money. Crosby, I think, is 28. It's not like are we that convinced? And I think, I don't know.
I mean, the Commanders just signed, 20, 30-year-olds, so it doesn't.
Right.
They got a 37-year-old soon, so it doesn't matter. Age is just a number.
I think the sports science has advanced so much, and these guys, nobody shows up to training camp to play themselves into shape.
They
you know what I mean?
Shape.
Right.
It's just
right.
a different – the money's so big and the universe is so different. Now, could a major injury happen at any moment? Of course. But, Trey Hendrickson's had 35 sacks the last two seasons. I'm not expecting that to dramatically slow down this
right.
ball.
Well, if he
right.
dropped down to 14, he had more than whoever was there before.
Right.
to be honest
right.
with you.
Nikki, who's your final four? How far you got the heels going?
Oh, they're winning it all in my bracket. I mean, that's obligatory. When you pay tuition, that's obligatory. You can't pick anybody else. I don't have a ton of faith I'm going to win this year, so
How did you feel about all the criticism Carolina got for getting in the program, in the tournament?
Some of it warranted. I mean, I was still livid about the loss to Duke. I mean, a lane violation? Are we serious?
All that would have done is tie the game, though. I feel like history has been rewritten inaccurately about this lane violation.
Yeah, but that lane violation don't give you much or nothing else. Don't do it.
All that would have done is tie the game, and Flag wasn't playing. So I'm just saying, just trying to point out the facts, you know.
He's hating.
Whatever, minor details.
He's
minor
hating.
Details.
He's
no,
mad
I'm glad
because
they're in
Jeff
it.
Beat Lanford picked Grand Canyon to beat Maryland.
Nah, Terps, baby.
Wow.
Nikki, we got to go. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Nick.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that is Nikki Jhabbala. Give her a follow at Nikki, N-I-C-K-I, Jhabbala, J-H-A-B-V-A-L-A on X and Instagram. We coming right back.